Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema from the Draft Network here with you on a special Saturday edition. This is nice, Trevor. We haven't done a Saturday pod since like draft season.
Is it Fan Saturday? Because that doesn't work.
It doesn't. There's no alliteration there whatsoever. It makes me really uneasy. Can we change the name? Is there something we can go with?
Super Fan Saturday.
That's a little bit better.
But that's kind of close to the Super Show thing that we do
on Friday. Spectator Saturday.
Wow!
There it is.
It is!
There's a thesaurus in this head of mine, son. Tell you what.
Beautiful.
Spectator Saturday here on the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. We are going to take your questions. We actually have already taken your questions, and we are going to answer them as best we can. Our first question is one that we've gotten like three times since you and I have been together. Josiah Jones, who is a friend of mine from college, shout out. He wants to know what I bench. I want to know what you bench.
You bench
I'm tired of answering this question.
You bench like 350, don't you?
I haven't maxed in like 2 months because I changed my workout routine.
2 months is whatever.
Yeah.
You have the same max right now than what you had 2 months
but
ago.
But I'm benching a lot. I'm just doing a lot of high rep stuff. But I was maxing 375 at that point. So I don't know what it is right now. But let's find out what Tampa Bay Trey is benching.
I can max 225. That's it.
One rep, or like we are talking about like a three rep max?
No, probably just one, maybe two reps on 225. Okay, that's about it.
Get your weight up.
You know, if I was going to the combine,
you would be a kicker.
I'd be a kicker. Actually, you know, not a bad gig. Not a bad gig.
There it is. You are coming up to bat next. What is your walk up song? Wow, that's a tough question to have on the spot because I feel like whatever your answer is gonna. I mean, if people listen to this pod, they should. That answer should follow us around.
It's something with Future. Probably Some Commas by Future would be mine. Or March Madness.
March Madness.
That's probably mine. Have you ever heard March Madness?
No, I haven't, no.
Okay. I will send you this link after this podcast, okay, and you can be educated on what is the hype master of Future.
Okay, all right. I'm interested. Man, I don't even know. What would my walk-up song be? I'm going to have to come back to it. I feel like there's a lot. You just kind of threw an answer out there, and I'm going to have to listen to that song because then I'll judge you on it. But I don't want to be judged on it. The answer that wouldn't really be my answer. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. You know, but that's, should have done your homework before the podcast.
Should have. Yep. Didn't, but should have. Can Pittsburgh borrow any of Tampa's linebackers? Please, dude. Please let it happen.
Is it bad? Is it bad?
Oh my gosh, dude. It's so bad. I can't even. I mean, like, they signed Sean Spence off the street last year to play over an injured Tyler Matakevich and LJ Ford, who's been on the team for like 3 years, but apparently they'd rather sign a dude that the Colts cast aside. They'd rather sign him and play him over LJ Ford.
Yikes. Okay,
so that's how bad the situation was.
That painted me a little bit of a picture of how bad it is.
That's how bad it was. Now Bostic and a healthy Matakevich are as bad as Sean Spence, so it's a nightmare. Absolutely.
Now,
nightmare.
To answer the question, no. No. No, they
wait,
cannot.
Who's your backups?
Riley Bulla.
Bond and Riley Bulla. They're probably bad too, but
Riley Bulla, who actually doesn't look bad this year. Ardarius Taylor, and then who's the other? Oh, Jack Citchie. Jack Citchie.
Oh, how's Citchie doing?
Well, he's fine. He's good.
Is he the best of those three?
That's
my boy,
no.
So be careful.
No.
Who's better than him out of those three?
Both of those guys.
Geez, that's not great. Ouch. So he doesn't make the team? Or?
No, I think he's gonna make the team. I mean, at the very least, Jack Citchie will be a the first year NFL redshirt thing, where they just practice squad him on their first year and then get him in there.
He was a fifth round pick.
When was he picked? Yeah.
I think he was fifth.
I can't remember. It was day three something. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, like, he's fine. He might still make the roster just because Kendall Beckwith, I don't know when he's coming back, so we'll see.
Okay. Actual question, which second-year wide receiver do you believe has the best chance of breaking out? You know, I'd really like to say Corey Davis, but I feel like Matt LaFleur is going to draw from Sean McVay's influence, and that offense is going to spread the ball around a ton. So I think on-field performance, he will be excellent. I don't think statistically, production-wise, we're talking about a guy who's going to be like Juju Smith-Schuster last year, or, you know, even what Juju will be this year. You know, I'd consider Juju already broken out. I mean, I think he's going to have 1,000 yards this year. So if you consider that, you know, better than last year, if you consider that breaking out, then there you go. I mean, Godwin's a trendy choice.
There's only one answer here.
It's Christopher Godwin.
It's Chris Godwin. I'm at practice. I'm at Bucks practice every single day, and the kid's unreal.
He's better than DeSean Jackson.
Yes.
That's not surprising to me, but some other people are going to be listening to that. Without hesitation. Wow.
At least in Dirk Cutter's offense, he is.
Well, because if you're better than – no, he's just better, man. Like, Dirk Cutter's offense is a downfield passing attack. DeSean Jackson's true. Made his whole living as a downfield
that
receiver.
That is true. I don't think they put DeSean in very good positions to succeed.
Does
like
he play outside or
– just straight go routes?
Does he play on the outside or
– Who?
Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, he plays inside and out, but he's just a package player now.
Yeah. Wow.
Godwin's the dude.
Yeah. So it's Godwin and Evans on the outside, and then when he comes in, anything could happen. Like, they move him around, but
right.
He's the third receiver.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, Corey Davis, you know, I'm up here in Nashville currently because the Bucks did the joint practice against the Titans. And Corey Davis looks pretty dang good. So, I mean,
that's good.
That's a,
well,
that's
he's going against the Bucks corner, so.
Well, you know.
Hey, listen, I can't talk, man. I cannot talk. That's one area where neither of us have any room to say much.
Hey, speaking of, what is this? What did we call this? Spectator Saturday?
Spectator right? Saturday.
Speaking of spectating, the NFL regular season right around the corner. I mean, we're coming up on week two of the preseason being a wrap. And when the regular season comes around, even when the preseason's here, these last couple of games, man, I was talking with people this week. Don't just sit around and watch them on TV. You can go to the games. You can be there. You can experience whatever your favorite team is. You can go to the stadium and you can enjoy a football game right there. And you can do so via our friends at Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is offering Locked On listeners 10% off their first ticket order when they use the exclusive promo code Locked On, right? Locked On.
Locked On is the promo code. You nailed it.
Thank you. Locked On, new customers only. The offer is good through the end of August, so you can buy tickets to future games in August using this promo code, and it'll be good for it. So
super dramatic pause.
I had to for the people. They didn't know what was coming next. So wow. Preseason, regular season, whatever it is, whatever team, any kind of game throughout the entire 2018 season, you can get it at Vivid Seats. Locked On to the promo code. Make sure you use it. We thank them for sponsoring this podcast.
Okay, and one of the questions we get is not really a question, but Bengals perspective, so no surprise that they bring this up, says Jalen Ramsey was right about Big Ben. No, he wasn't, but Jalen Ramsey is a national treasure.
Spot the lie.
His interview is unbelievable.
What did he say about Big Ben specifically?
Decent. It's not Big Ben, it's AB. Big Ben slings the ball a lot of the time. He just slings it, and his receivers go get it. I played him twice last year, and he really disappointed me.
Wow, Jalen Ramsey used the father phrase, really disappointed?
Thank you. I was just going to say that.
Oh, my God. Man.
He's a great trash talker, right?
Incredible.
But almost amazing to me that he completely switches gears to, like, this dad, like, he sunned Big Ben.
Yeah.
Like,
no
he
question.
Was like, he's let it, he let me down.
he really let me down.
It's just, you're an elite trash talker when you can go from, you know, the barbs and all that kind of stuff that you're typically slinging out there to just like, you know, he disappointed me. That was the biggest thing when I played Ben Roethlisberger. He just disappointed me. I mean, what a marvelous interview. I loved it. I loved every second of it. And he's dead wrong about Ben and many other quarterbacks that he commented on, but I don't even care. And I can't imagine being triggered by that as many people were. But, I mean, there were fan bases that spent the entire day trying to disprove the things that he said. Like, he said Andrew Luck was just okay. And they pulled up the stats from the last time Luck played him. And, like, Ramsey got like lit up like a Christmas tree in that game. I was like, yeah, he's wrong. We all know that. We don't have to like get all worked up about it. Like, it's just a player. He's not an analyst. Like, you know, Andy Benoit goes out and says Andrew Luck's just okay. He's getting dragged all day, no question, because he's an analyst. Like, he has a responsibility to, like, you know, be able to convey facts and information. That's his job. Ramsey's job isn't to make us believe the truth about, you know, Andrew Luck. It's to say his opinion, be entertaining, have fun, you know?
And he was.
Oh, my. He was ever. It was a great interview. But I don't think that interview will be topped this year. Just the wealth of information, and, yeah, it was just great. Justin Fetty says, bonus pod, fire, emoji. Yes, agreed, Justin. Thank you. Spectator Saturday, it's been lit. I know it's lame, but fantasy. I know it's lame, but fantasy college player. What Power 5 players do you expect to have the biggest statistical seasons? It feels like stupid to say Bryce Love, but, I mean, they're going to run the ball a ton.
Right.
He's
going to
get
it. Players.
Yeah. If he stays healthy, he'll be one.
I mean, Greer's going to chuck a million touchdowns,
yep,
right?
Yep, yep. Locke is also going to chuck it around the yard. Yep. If Missouri's going to win, he's going to put up big numbers. You know, the Ole Miss guys are tough because really all of them are super impressive, but none of them really produced at a super crazy level. And I love Dawson Knox. He was great per catch last year for a tight end, huge numbers, but he didn't score a lot of touchdowns either. So one of those guys will probably pop off. I don't know which one. Their offense seems to run through the slot more than anything. So I would guess AJ Brown's probably the guy to keep an eye on the most.
I wonder how Kyler Murray's going to do, like, fantasy wise.
Yeah. I mean, the Big 12, man, it's fake football. Everybody can churn out numbers.
Wide open in the Big 12.
Right. Rodney Anderson will probably put up some numbers.
That's true, too. Yeah.
How worried are the Bucs that Rojo may be this year's Jeremy McNichols?
Stop.
McNichols got caught. He didn't even make it out of camp.
Stop.
Oh, my.
Stop.
Oh, my goodness.
This is a travesty, people.
What a disrespectful question. He didn't even ask how worried are the fans. He asked how worried are the Bucks, just
the
assuming
Bucks.
That the team has already made the Rojo-Jeremy McNichols comparison. Oh, my goodness.
They're already searching for trade partners. Nobody's called them back. He's about to be on the streets, folks. No, I'm totally kidding. Rojo has not started his NFL career as quickly as, say, like, Barkley did on his first carry, obviously showing a lot of confidence there. Geis, I mean, unfortunately, towards ACL, but I mean, people got a glimpse of what he was like. He was picked after Ronald Jones. And so, like, when compared to that, yeah, Ronald Jones is starting a lot slower than those guys. He's had some fumble issues in camp.
He's getting a touchdown, didn't he?
He did, but I mean, it was.
Yeah, 1 yard.
He had 9 yards on 8 carries that game. So,
well, Nick Chubb had like 11 yards on 15 carries, so.
Yeah, nobody brings up Nick Chubb on this podcast, guys. No,
well, I'm going to. If Sony Michel ends up getting back on the field and doing better than him, I'm going to bring him up a lot.
Rojo is going to be fine. He's going to be fine. He's going to be fine.
Yeah, everybody pump the brakes.
Say it one more time and I'll believe you. Okay, he's going
to
be fine.
Yeah, sell it. Sell it to yourself. Need to talk about offensive tackles in 2019. There has been a drought of blue and red chip prospects the last few years and a lot of Power 5 disappointments. Davenport's been better than anything out of the SEC. I don't know who Davenport is. Julian Davenport? Oy, I don't think so.
Marcus Davenport?
I don't know. No tackle. Is there another tackle named Davenport other than Julian Davenport? Because Cam Robinson was better than Julian Davenport last year. But anyway, right. Davenport's been better than anything out of the SEC. The NFL is desperately in need of a talent infusion at offensive tackle. I don't know that there's a question in there. He just wants us to talk about tackles eventually, which we will. That will be the last position group. Next week, we talk about wide receivers, which I am so excited for. And then we talk, I think we squeeze in tight end and O-line in the same week. We got to discuss a little bit. But
are we?
We're not going to spend a whole week on tight ends. Maybe we'll squeeze tight ends in with wide receivers next week. We got to discuss, but
okay,
we can't spend a whole week on tight ends, although there are some really interesting names to talk about. But we're going to talk about offensive linemen, so I don't want to give too much away. But it looks like right now there could be two or three guys that are first-round type of tackles, so that's exciting. Interior offensive line, ooh, not so much, man. This looks like the opposite of last year, kind of, where I didn't like many of the tackles at all, but I love the interior offensive line this past draft. This next draft looks like it might be flipped. Have you guys heard of any late round picks from this last year's draft that are going to potentially start for their team. You know, Sky Moore could start for the Colts. He wasn't even, he was undrafted, I think. Pretty sure.
The Colts linebackers. Yeah.
So. I mean, like, okay, easy answer to this question, Andrew, is that bad teams are going to want to play their young guys. So especially like non-quarterbacks. So there you go. I mean, that'll look at those rosters and you'll find some of those guys. I saw Sky Moore playing.
Oh, Auden Tate, my boy.
Start. They did let LaFell go. I mean, I think it'll be Boyd and Ross and AJ Green. If they don't move Ross to corner, we'll see. Who would you say is the best wide receiver group in the NFL? I would say Atlanta or Pittsburgh. Possibly the Browns in there if Gordon is where he was at before weed issues. Big if. Also, we don't really know what's going on with Josh Gordon. It's just because, I mean, I feel like it's looking like we're in doubt here of whether Gordon's going to play or not, personally, I think. That's not from anything I'm hearing. I'm just reading the tea leaves here, man. Like, I don't know. I mean, I'd love to see him on the field, obviously.
If Gordon doesn't play, I'll be devastated.
Right. Callaway, Jarvis Landry, if they sign Dez, no, it still doesn't, not even close to Pittsburgh. I don't know. I'm obviously kind of biased, but like, is there anybody that challenges Pittsburgh for best wide receiver group?
The Falcons.
Do they? You're going to take Juju over Sanu and Calvin Ridley, and you'd probably take, you should take AB over Julio.
Low key, Chicago. I would not that I'm taking them over Pittsburgh. I just wanted to note them.
Okay. Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure they got love.
Yes.
And also Tampa Bay.
Man, things turned around quick in Chicago. They would have been like last year.
Yeah.
Good group.
Tampa Bay. I mean, OJ is going to be a monster this year.
When you combine the tight ends, this is just wider. But when you combine the tight ends, it gets a little more interesting. Kansas City, if Watkins can,
Nah, Watkins cut his dreads, man. It's over for him.
Yeah, dude.
No, it's over.
Poor choice.
No, it's over. Yeah. I'm out. We're done.
Super disappointed.
We're done.
Decision. What are the most inaccurate player comps you have heard for 2019 prospects? Drew Lock, Josh Allen blows my mind. They don't play the same way in any way, shape, or form. I mean, Allen was chaos running around, getting drilled, throwing balls across his body.
I haven't heard enough comp yet.
Yeah, I haven't either. Man, I heard a doozy of a comp the other day. Rashad Penny, Marshawn Lynch. That might be the worst comp I've ever seen. Dear Lord, that comp is so bad. That is such a bad comp.
We gotta like not comp people to Marshawn Lynch, man.
Yeah, dude, like why would you comp anyone, especially like, I mean, yeah, it's such a, like, if you're going to comp somebody accurately to Marshawn Lynch, he had the most, like, obvious style of running ever. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you just can't, like, throw out a comp for Marshawn Lynch. Like, his style was so, like, when you think about running back styles and how easy they are to describe over the years, he's got, like, the most distinctive style ever.
Right.
So then you're just going to throw out some, I mean, Rashad Penny, whose physicality was actually questioned during the pre-draft. I mean, I just can't even.
John's triggered.
It's amazing. One of you guys said to ask this during the next Fan Friday. Trevor, defend UF's case for still being DBU, and John, bring some new contenders to decide if UF has been replaced. This is something we are going to discuss.
Are we gonna do a series on it?
Yes, I think we're gonna talk about DBU in an article in the upcoming week. So
we're gonna do a lot of research about it and about DBU. So.
Because John, there are many convincing arguments, but
John will probably write it and I will refute it. Right.
It'll be a little fun little battle. It'll be great. Check it out on the Draft Network. Any advice on how to deal with a nasty breakup? This isn't even a real question. I'm skipping this one. That looks like a bot question. Sorry if it isn't for that person. I feel bad.
Wait, is it Gnome?
Is it what?
Is it from the username? Is it like at Gnome?
Yes.
All right, shout out Gnome. What's up? Gnome's my boy.
Wait, is this for real? Should I read this?
Yeah, I mean, like, all right, how would you deal with a nasty breakup, John?
Well, that's not the whole question.
Gnome probably got a little crazy in his question. You can read it if you want.
Any advice on how to deal with the nasty breakup? I want custody of the kids, but Sharon told me that Daryl from Staples would be a better dad than I ever was.
Listen, Daryl's
your boy. I'm letting you. I'm letting you address it.
Daryl has nothing on. You got to fight that. All right. He's not a better dad than you. You've got to. You've got to take pride in how you are as a father. Those are your kids. Don't let somebody else raise your kids, Gnome.
Shout out, Gnome. Did not know you were a real person and not a bot. My apologies. The current Heisman odds per Bovada are shown below.
Well, this is a wonderful, wonderful phrase for a audio-only medium, John.
Well, yeah. Well, maybe you should pull up your screen.
What is everybody going to pull up their screen?
Yeah, they could.
Go
to my Twitter page, click
first,
follow.
First, go to thedraftnetwork.com. Then.
Tua is first. I'm looking over the odds.
Who?
Tua has the best odds.
No way.
Yeah.
To
Bryce
win
Love.
Heisman? Bright,
to win Heisman, an Alabama quarterback.
No.
And a school that runs the ball. Here we go. I'm going to say it. Tua was horrible in the national championship game. He was terrible. He made one throw. One throw.
It was the one that mattered, John.
He took a massive sack late in the game that should have doomed them if Georgia didn't blow a first grade coverage. This is the truth, man.
How did we not enter the podcast with this? Fire.
Alabama had third and long from midfield. And he was wrapped up for a sack by three dudes, and they all tackled each other, and he ran for a first down. They scored on that drive. They never looked back. What's his face? Fromm threw a pass that his center blocked a guy for Alabama across the path of the ball. He was bodying this guy so much. The ball hit off that guy's helmet. Freak deflection. Raekwon Davis picks it off.
I just can't, like,
there's
when
never
you have
been a luckier national championship than Alabama.
When you have that much hate that you can have a photographic memory the way that John just did, that's when you know it's kept you up at night.
Honestly.
Reading all the tweets about Tua and Alabama fans and everything. John has just been staring at his ceiling. He has woken up his wife by yelling, "It wasn't even a good game."
It wasn't.
The middle of the night.
It wasn't. It isn't the middle of the night. It wasn't. I'm sorry. It was not. But actually, to be honest, I've only had to watch the game like 500,000 times because I'm scouting the SEC. So I've had to watch all the Alabama guys from last year's draft and this year's draft.
Yeah.
All the Georgia guys from this year's draft and last year's draft. It's probably like,
get back to the list. Who's on the list?
Bryce Love, Jonathan Taylor, second and third place. Dwayne Haskins, man, Bryce Love's got good odds. Jonathan Taylor's a good choice. That offensive line's tanks. They're going to run it a lot. Greer's in there. Your boy Will Greer.
Mm-hmm.
Khalil Tate, Jake Fromm, Trace McSorley. They're all plus
1,500. Probably Khalil Tate, right?
I think so. I think there's some good odds there. J.K. Dobbins down the list. I don't mind that one. He's explosive.
I don't think he's going to win a Heisman, though. They ain't going
to
give it to
I don't think so
back.
Either. I don't think so either. If I had to put my money on one guy to win the Heisman right now, I might go with Jonathan Taylor.
I'd take Khalil Tate, but.
Okay, that's a good choice. I like that choice, actually. All right, here we go. Last question. What is more important? Oh, very important question. What is more important for a quarterback, picking a good jersey number or being handsome?
Wow.
Impossible to say. Here's my one thing that I'll say. It's a lot easier to pick a good jersey number as a quarterback than it is other positions. There aren't many bad jersey numbers for quarterbacks. Like what, 19, right?
Yeah, not
that's
a
bad one.
Not a fan.
What else? I mean, really, I can make do with most any.
I think it all boils down to, you know, the can't teach traits, and you can't teach handsome.
You can't.
You can teach somebody to pick a good number, but you can't teach handsome. Yeah. So I think I'm going to go with handsome.
Yeah, me too. I mean, if you look through history, look at all the greats, whether they've been good looking or not. It's really important. Drew Brees, Peyton Manning.
Jeez, man.
Those were the only bad looking quarterbacks I could think of.
Just going after him, dude.
All right. That wraps it up for Spectator Saturday. The first ever, but not the last ever. We will be back next week. We're talking wide receivers next week. Guys, it is going to be one of the best weeks of the pod ever. I mean, this wide receiver class is fun. I personally don't think we've had a fun wide receiver class, like, and talk about, you know, volume of players, of people, of guys who could be good. We haven't had a class like that to discuss for a couple years. This one has me really excited. I think there's a ton of talented guys. We're going to touch on them all next week. It's going to be a lot of fun. So until then, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.